Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, the Dr. here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I am here to stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what the goal is. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you'd like to call in and talk with me today, that number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, or any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food, it is what is eating at you. Now, I have a question today from a member of my online group, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook. Laurel asks, how do I deal with eating just because a food is there? For example, Halloween candy, she says. She says, I suspect it's a throwback from limiting sweets growing up. I just want to eat it all. Hold on a second. Do I have a note from, I have a caller. Move the mic away from me. Okay. Carly Gash is calling, but Carly Gash, I'm going to ask you to hold on while I answer Laurel's question, which is, again, how do you deal with eating something just because it's there? Now, Laurel, you're definitely on to something if you grew up with sweets being limited, because the anticipation of deprivation only makes you want something more. So if you have this idea and you have these food rules, such as, I shouldn't eat that, that's a forbidden food, that's a bad food, that all that good food is really bad, and I will feel bad if I eat it, and I will be bad if I eat it, so therefore you want it more. The anticipation of deprivation or the experience of deprivation, even if it's thinking you shouldn't have something, will make you want it more. And that is why when you normalize, hey, all foods are foods you can eat. There are no rules. What you want to do is create a rule that says, I want to more often than not eat a food that is healthy for me, that is good for my body, that's going to make me feel good. And I get to also have foods that are not, you know, so healthy. And, you know, it's okay to have, you know, cookies with lunch or ice cream after dinner, because there's a big difference between having a few cookies or a couple and or a little portion of ice cream for dessert and binging on it. The more that you can normalize it and give yourself permission to have it, the less you're going to binge on it. You can decide whether you want it or not, and if so, how much you want of it. The other thing that to think about is Laurel says she just wants it all. And sometimes we can transfer, she says, I want to eat it all. Sometimes we can transfer wants and desires in our lives for things that we don't have onto food. We can't have, I don't know, whatever it is that you are deprived of in life, you can't have that, but you can have more food. So I would suggest that you look at where in your life are you feeling deprived, and wonder if unconsciously you are allowing yourself to have the more that you can't have. You can't have more of whatever it is that you're deprived of, but you can allow yourself to have more food. So when we're deprived, we let ourselves have more of something. So those would be my thoughts. Laurel, if you give yourself permission to have it, chances are you might not even think it tastes as good as you remember it, or the cake or the cookies or the whatever it is that you think you should not have. And ask yourself, if you want to eat it all, where in your life are you deprived? What else do you want more of? Okay, Carly Gash, welcome. Carly Gash? She gone? Hello? Okay, I think we lost Carly Gash. So hopefully...
Hello, no, I'm here. I was muted.
Oh, she's there. Okay. Hi, Carly Gash.
Good. Hi, Dr. Nina.
What's going on?
Well, I've been binging this past 2 weeks every day. Every day I tell myself, tomorrow I'll stop binging. Nope. The new day comes and I just grab cookie.
Oh, Carly Gash, you're telling yourself the wrong thing. If every day you start with the intention of not binging, then you're not looking at why you're binging. So instead of, I'm not going to do it, which is white knuckling it and addressing the solution to the problem, right? Binging is a solution to a problem. It is not the problem. Instead of saying, I'm not going to do it, damn it, I'm not going to do it, ask yourself, why? Why are you doing it?
It feels like, Dr. Nina, it feels like I want to binge, you know? It feels like I'm depressed in so many areas in my life, you know, in everything. I'm even deprived of my own freaking health, like with this Lyme. You never know, like too much uncertainty. Say I can have plans, like for working out or whatever doing, and then like it hits and I cannot focus or I just simply don't have energy and stuff. But, and also I noticed I don't give myself credit. Like the past week I've been doing yoga and I've started jogging, but it's never enough. Like the critic says, okay, you jogged fine. First time in my life I started jogging. And then the inner critic says, well, you just started jogging and you only like jogged for 4 days. But you were binging, so no point, you're still gaining weight. And also, my question is, I gained like a lot of weight in pandemic. I just can't accept it. Like, I cannot accept it. I hate it. And like, I want to accept it, but I just can't.
Oh my gosh. You're talking about a lot of different things. And I want to point out to you how you went from, you recognize that there's this critical voice, this critic that says, oh, you only jogged that far. And I will say that the way you're talking in the you voice, the critical voice, I will say does not sound quite as bitingly, horrifically mean as it used to. So that's good news. However, you quickly went from, yeah, I'm doing this critical voice. And now you're focused on I've gained weight. Well, I suggest to you that you have to unburden yourself of this critical voice. If you gain weight, it's because you're binging. If you're binging, it's because something is going on inside and you're using it to comfort yourself, to distract yourself, or to enliven yourself, to calm yourself down. These are some of the things we've talked about. But you can't support yourself and be kind to yourself in the presence of this mean voice. I don't think that if a friend of yours started jogging who had never before jogged, that you would say to that friend, well, you only jogged that. You wouldn't say, well, I know you just started jogging, but you only jogged that far. You know what? You'd want to jog away from that friend that friend would want to jog away from you, run away from you as quickly as possible, because that's not nice. You are binging because you are mean to yourself. And it doesn't sound like you're always critical, which is good, but what's missing is a supportive, kind, nice voice, a nurturing voice.
That's true. It's also like I always don't. Before pandemic, I was really on a good track, going to the gym and stuff. I know pandemic hit everyone, but now it seems that I lost hope that one day I will be able to put it together or something. Feels like that I'm avoiding like doing the right stuff, and I set myself for binging, you know. I just go to bed and wake up in the morning. I do my morning routine, like I drink water, I do a morning exercise. But then I just anticipate this binging, this eating moment. And Carly, I binge, I eat more than I'm supposed to.
Carly Gash, I know. I'm cutting you off because I get it. I know it. But I also want to stop you because you go very easily into this, look what I do, look what I do, look what I know, and look what I do. You're sabotaging yourself, you're abandoning yourself, and in this pandemic, what's missing? Connection with people. What does food represent? People. What are the prohibitions? We've talked on the show before about success. You have, you know, if you're successful, you leave your struggling family in Kazakhstan behind. Logically, hey, good for you. Psychologically, it feels like a rupture, like you're not connected to them anymore. You are very, I want to challenge you. If you can talk to me, but not mention binging or your weight, I wonder what would be on your mind.
Well, what's on my mind is I'm pissed off. I'm so pissed off that, yes, I'm doing the psychoanalysis and I just understood the whole drama of my family. But I'm so angry. I just got it at 36 years old. When people were like making careers, building families, doing this shit, and then now they are like successful. Whereas I now am looking like the one who's complaining. And like in my culture, people always say, oh, you never blame your family on you. You never blame your childhood or life situation. Other people pull it out with all the shit. Why cannot you do this? You are just an excuser. You find excuses. Just go and do the thing. But I don't know. In my situation, maybe I am not as smart as everyone else in the world, but I really get things later, like communication, relationships, job relationships. I really get it later than others. But in other areas like creativity and like other intelligence, I'm like pretty faster than others. But this whole dynamic, I just got the information so late.
Who are these others? Like, what are you comparing? I want to point out how you create these others that you're in competition with and feel as if they're ahead of you or you're behind in some way or you're ahead of them. You're always in competition with others. And rather than say, you know what, not everybody does the work of, it doesn't matter whether other people are where you are or not. Not everybody does the work of self-reflection, and you're doing it now, and that's good. But forget the others. How am I feeling? I want you to ask yourself, what am I feeling in my life right now? You're on your
own. I feel shitty because like, before psychoanalysis, I'm not blaming. I'm very happy to do psychoanalysis.
Well,
but before I did the wrong stuff, but I was hopeful. You know, like I've been doing the wrong stuff. Like when I gain weight, my life will be happy. It was wrong, but I kind of was, I guess, busy. But now when I am facing my emotions and my reality, I'm like, I'm just lost. I'm just lost. Because I cannot do the old stuff anymore. Or even if I do it, it doesn't feel like satisfying anymore. But the new way of living, I'm still figuring it out. And I'm changing people. Actually, I'm changing people around me and they are getting better. I'm getting better quality of people, of like interactions, because I choose better people. But still, like, and you know, I'm doing stuff. I just never give myself credit for it. Well, I just do a lot.
That is where the encouraging, supportive voice comes in. So if you wake up with the intention of, instead of, I'm not going to binge today, and wake up with the intention of, I am going to support myself today, and I am going to encourage myself.
I like it. It may work. I like this one.
And if I think about eating, I'm going to ask myself, why? I'm going to say, why? And I'm not going to talk to myself in second person voice, by the way. I want that to be an intention too. So you're going to say, I want to ask myself, why do I want to do that? What am I, how am I helping myself through food? What's going on?
Dr. Nina, I need your help here, right here. So I actually moved to the place where I reach for the food, but I shove it to my mouth, but I'm thinking. Now I'm really thinking each time I put it in my mouth, I'm like, why am I doing this? I know I'm like, right, I'm like very aware that I'm binging. I'm like, what's going on? Why am I doing this? What's going on internally that I'm like reaching for food now? I ask myself the question. It's a good point. Like I finally did it. But you know what I do? I ask the question and then I'm like, I don't know. And I just kind of avoid it. I pretend that I don't know or whatever. And I just keep eating.
Okay. So
how in this moment do I progress further from asking myself to actually answering it?
Who wasn't interested in you? Who didn't want to know?
Say it again, please.
Who was not interested in you? Who did not want to know about you? Who was not curious about your feelings, about your situation, about your experience?
Everyone except you.
Well, then when you say, I don't know, that's you identifying with your family, with your the people who treated you with disinterest. I don't know means I don't want to know. But that's not you.
It so fucking resonates, and it hurts. You're so right. I can't believe it was acquired. But I like internalized by me too.
It's
and that even this shit is coming from like somebody else in my life. It's just so fucked up.
This is why.
But I'll keep doing.
This is why I call this work. I call it a couple of things, right? One is that it's detective work. We're detective of the mind. We're going to say, well, what? We're going to solve the mystery of why you're binging or why you're turning to food or why you're focusing on your weight. Let's solve the mystery. Detectives look for clues. Detectives do not judge clues. So on the one hand, we're detectives. On the other hand, it's a psychological exorcism because we've got to get the identifications with toxic people or with negative relationships that you've internalized out of your head. So whereas once someone said to you, not in so many words necessarily, but I don't care what's going on with you. I don't care.
Not once, consistently, all the time, and everyone.
Okay.
Except like you.
So someone said that to you or showed that to you, that was relational. Mm-hmm. And now it's become internal between different parts of you. So we have to exorcise, right? That part, them. They may be in Kazakhstan, but they are in your head right now. And they're the ones that have to vacate the premises because they're torturing you and keeping you stuck. So it's great that you are asking yourself the question, why am I doing this? But when you say, I don't know. I want you to think, oh, that's.
And I also say like, I can't figure it out myself. That's what I say. I don't know. And I can't figure it out myself. So I binge.
Yeah. So
that's what's going on.
Right. And another more practical thing to say is, what would I say to a friend who was feeling this? What would I say to a friend? If a friend said, oh my God, I can't stop eating or I want to eat this, would you say, I can't figure that out for you? I don't know. Or would you say, just forget the reason why? Wouldn't you just respond and say, hey, something's going on with you, even if you don't know what it is. I'm here for you, and you're going to be okay. No matter what's going on, you can get through this. That's the voice to cultivate. Can you do that?
Thank you. It's just so challenging to deconstruct this idea when people were not interested in me. and now I'm not interested in myself. That's a huge, I'm sorry to say, shit to deconstruct. And I think I'm going to spend my like coming months for it, like on deconstructing this. It's just very sneaky. Only you could catch it by its tail, honestly. I wasn't able. I could, because Dr. Nina, I didn't know that when people ignore you, you can also, I can also internalize like people's behavior, not only words. Like I knew that I internalized like critical voices, but also like critic, like behavior, like this, you know, ignoring. So like the way they treated me,
dynamics.
I internalized and now,
yeah.
Yeah, the dynamic, I internalized it and now I treat myself the same way. I'm sorry, I have to say, this shit is so complicated. I mean, you could figure it out, but I mean, oh gosh, things gotta have you. Like, I wouldn't be able, because I was like, I mean, how can you even do this?
Carly Gash,
I mean, years of training and stuff.
It's impossible, like, Carly Gash, it's impossible, because I hear you going like, why can't I do this on some level? It is impossible to have an objective view of your subjective experience. Mm-hmm. So please give yourself a break on that score. And by the way, you didn't call in last week, and I got some people asking me, hey, what happened to Carly Gash? So I'm
thank you. Interested. I love you guys.
There are people who are interested in you out there. You be interested in you, and please, you know, I look forward to hearing from you next week, and you let us know how it goes, challenging this voice and really showing up for you. Borrow my voice, right? What would Dr. Nina say to me right now? Borrow my voice.
Yeah, I actually, like, a lot of times this week, I had your voice. That's the voice which showed up when I was binging. I was, like, hearing, Carly Gash, what's going on? What's going on? Like, in your voice, I could hear it. When I was binging and I was eating, your voice told me, like, what's going on, Carly Gash? And it was so present, like, but it's a step forward. Before, I would just binge without even asking myself this question. So for me, it's a huge success.
It is indeed. So stay with the successes, not stay with what you are doing, not with what you're not doing. Whether it's jogging or self-exploration.
I will set myself goal, like when I wake up, I'll tell myself, today I will be supportive with myself, one thing, and second thing, I will work on deconstructing this internalized attitude of disinterest in me or my emotions or what's going on in me, like kind of zeroing me in, like kind of eradicating me, you know, like I wish you were never existed kind of attitude, because I was born from... Nobody wanted me to be born, actually. Several people wanted to kill me. Like, many people said to my mom, like, do abortion and stuff. But I came, so I was very, very uncomfortable for everyone. But no wonder I internalized this attitude. That makes so much sense to me now.
Now, keep challenging that, and you're going to be creating change. I'm proud of you. You are making changes, and you are in a process. So let yourself be in a process and keep us posted.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. I will do the work and I will keep you posted. I'll keep calling. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye for now, Carly Gash.
Bye. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye.
You too. Okay. Wait, do we have? No, no one. Thought we had another caller. We do not have another caller. So today is November 4th. It is the day after the election here in the United States. As of right now, it is 11:24 a.m. in L.A. And Jenny is calling. Jenny is calling. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Dr. Nina. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there, Jenny. How are you doing?
I'm not doing very well today, and I feel like maybe a lot of people are not doing very well today, actually. I'm trying not to look at the news, but I'm having a minor nervous breakdown thinking what's going to happen with the election and life and just everything. I feel like this is the beginning or the end of something, and I'm feeling really anxiety riddled.
The beginning of the end. Say more about that.
Well, it could be at the beginning of something, or it could be the beginning of the end of something. I don't even know. I feel like I feel like for some of us, this is a life or death like election.
Well, it, for 242,000 people and counting, yeah, it has been, it is literally life or death.
Yeah. And so I haven't left the house in, you know, since, I don't know, Monday morning. And I've just been, I don't know, I've been drinking some vodka, which probably not the best thing to do. Not today yet, because it's still morning, but yesterday. And, I don't know. I just feel sick to my stomach, and I have a headache, and, you know, I have all the symptoms of, you know, a person who's in deep stress, and I don't know what to do with myself because I'm afraid to leave the house because there's like, I don't know. I feel like there's madness out there. It's like a bad energy.
Well, I've been getting texts and emails all day from people who have this sense of, you know, no matter who wins, the fact that it is this close is very disturbing to them.
Yeah.
That, you know, that here we have a president who a party, a Republican Party, it's not the Trump Party, that's become about grievance and isolation, and it's not about reality, and it's not about science, and it's not about, there's so many things it's not about, and so many things that it is about, which is for so many people, it's about racism and misogyny and sadism and cruelty and hatred, and the fact that so many people would say, yeah, that deserves a second term, is highly disturbing to many, many people.
Well, it's about decency. Are you a decent person who's going to vote for a decent person? Or are you an indecent person who's going to vote for an indecent person? And by the looks of it, there's a lot more indecent people than I thought there were. So yes, I can understand that, but the thought of what we're living amongst in this country, I mean, we in LA are in like a little bubble, and I grew up in the East Coast, which is also like a little bubble, you know, the Jersey, New York area, because it's all blue states. And right now it has nothing to do with party, or like Democrat, Republican. It just has to do with decency or indecency.
Yeah, I agree. And
that's like the battle of good and evil. It's like we're living in a comic book or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And this kind of uncertainty, this sense of that evil will prevail, the sense that people are out for themselves. So what if, so what if people are dying of COVID? I'm sick of hearing about it, and I'm paying fewer taxes. Like that it would be the prevailing opinion is frightening and scary, and so we have this reality and this uncertainty. And like you said, you're drinking vodka, and a lot of other people are, you know, eating cookies or pizza or whatever it is. It's a way of coping with the enormity of this world that we think is one thing maybe, and then we're shown that it's not what we think.
What is sugar? Like, is that a comfort? Sugar?
Wanting more sweetness in your life. Someone in my Food for Thought community, or no, Binge Free Babes, some community said, oh, I'm I'm binging on peanut M&Ms. Well, that's crunchy. That's anger and, you know, needing some kind of sweetness, but mostly anger and comfort at the same time. Comfort is more smooth and creamy.
I do love crunchy. That's anger. Yeah, I have a lot of anger. That makes a whole lot of sense.
So, when you can express your anger, and also along with anger, sometimes there's hopelessness. All we could do, you're angry about this election. You're angry about the state of humanity. You're angry about a lot. Angry about how this pandemic and its mishandling has affected you. I know you've called the show and talked about not being able to work because of that. So you have a lot to be angry with. When you express it, you're less likely to, with words, you're less likely to express it with peanut M&Ms or, you know, crunchy candy and vodka.
Well, the problem is that, like, it's hard, you know, I have a therapist that I, you know, go Zoom with, you know, every week or every 2 weeks, and then I, you know, call into you, but, like, it's hard. I just don't want to vent to, like, my friends and family who are struggling with their own shit. So, because I don't want to bother people with my issues, because everyone's got issues, you know, and I don't want to be selfish or, you know, self-involved when they're having such issues. So, you know, it's just hard for me to express a lot of my anger. And it always has been since I was a child, because I really didn't have an outlet for it, you know?
Okay, well, a couple of things. I want to deconstruct what you just said. First of all, expressing it doesn't necessarily mean expressing it to the person or people that are making you upset. Expressing it means expressing it for yourself. So that's one thing. But the other piece of this is that your idea that if you express how you feel when other people are going through stuff, that somehow you're burdening them. So you've got to carry this burden yourself. You're either selfless or selfish. As opposed to, well, you matter too, and how you feel matters too. And maybe, you know, they're not, depending on the person, maybe they're not going to experience it as a burden. Maybe they'll experience it as a gift. Maybe you help them, and here's their opportunity to help you through a hard time. Unless there's some people, in which case it's all about them. But you've also said you had to take care of both your parents growing up. No one was taking care of you. You're a parentified child, meaning a kid that takes care of the parents, doesn't get taken care of, and feels like, and that's probably where you started first thinking that. Needing care, needing to be understood or heard would be a burden.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like my whole life I haven't, I don't know, like I'm, I don't know, maybe it's because I've had to do a lot for other people. I've just always put myself last. And now when I put myself first, I feel guilt, you know, I have a lot of guilt ideas, okay. And I learned that from my parents for sure.
So guilt is when we think we're doing something wrong or not doing something we think we should do. So what is the crime? What is your crime in sharing? What is it that you're doing wrong?
I feel like I'm putting like my problems onto somebody else, or I'm stressing out somebody else with my issues. You know, and it's not going through something and I've turned to a friend or a family member and they have said to me, this is a lot for me to take on. I don't think I can help you, you know, where it has been true that I've been, you know, leaning on someone a little too much and they feel burdened by me. So,
well, maybe
I take that part.
Jenny? maybe you have been leaning on them too much, or maybe they're just incapable. Maybe you are hoping that someone who's incapable of understanding and helping you can help you. If you are burdened, you're not a burden, you're burdened. And mm-hmm. other people are you know, the right people.
Yeah, that's true. I just, you know, it's hard. It's like a habit almost that I have that, you know, I just deal with it myself, you know, I just deal with it myself. And the way I deal with that a lot of the time is self-soothing things like, you know, alcohol or, you know, well, before the pandemic, it was like, you know, I could go out and like exercise or do things that, you know, were a little healthier. It's hard to, you know, to break those habits sometimes. And I'm trying, but.
It's too much to always feel as if you've got to take care of yourself, and that asking someone else for help is burdening them, and you're going to be too much for them, and they're going to maybe, you know, reject you in some way. That's mm-hmm. that. Then you're always feeling as if you've got to handle everything yourself. And sometimes we handle things ourselves, and sometimes we absolutely need other people to help us. If anything, this pandemic, I think, has shown us that we need each other. You've even talked about how hard it is for you to be in your apartment alone and not really seeing people. We need other people, and we need not just to be in each other's presence, but to help each other.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm just having like one of those hard days.
So you're not burdening me, and I hear that you're having feelings there, you know? You're not burdening me. You're unburdening yourself. Talk a little bit about your hard time. Share it.
It's just, you know, I feel like this whole year has exacerbated, like, that my anxiety comes a lot from, like, you know, feeling alone, because, you know, I didn't have like two fully functioning parents. So I feel like this whole year has just, and then the election, you know, first the pandemic, then the election. Now I really feel that sense of like being like alone, like being alone, like literally, like if I open my eyes, maybe the whole world will have disappeared and I'll be here all by myself. Like that movie with Will Smith, where he's like in New York and everyone has like fled because of the zombie apocalypse, whatever. I am legend and I'm alone with my dog, just me. And I'm having like little bits of PTSD from like, you know, from coming up from this whole year of, you know, of major change, and also, you know, the issues I've always had with, you know, feeling alone or feeling, you know, feeling like I don't have anyone to turn to, and the anxiety and panic that comes from that, because that's mostly where, you know, my anxiety and panic comes from, is like that feeling that like I'm going to die alone and no one's going to be there to help me. And, you know,
don't apologize. That's such a strong and evocative and kind of heartbreaking image of how you're talking about like the future. Oh, I'm going to die alone and no one's going to help me. But I think what it really talks about is how you feel, how you feel alone. You feel, you know, like no one is there for you. And you can't rely on people, and you've got to be, you know, strong or whatever, or you know, drink vodka, eat candy, mm-hmm. as a way to cope. And sometimes when we grow up with selfish people, we tolerate other selfish people. If you grow up having to take care of your parents, then it becomes very easy to find people in your life who you take care of, because that's what you know, that's what's familiar, that's how it is. And you can kind of reinforce that idea that that's your role. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so evaluating the people in your life.
I'm sorry, say that again.
But that's familiar, and that can feel like your role, and as opposed to no, relationship should be mutual. That means sometimes you take care of your friend, and sometimes your friend takes care of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I have had trouble finding relationships, whether it be, you know, family, friends, or romantic relationships, where I feel like it's equal, because I always feel like I do try to give as much as I can, and I don't always get a lot back from it, and it exhausts me a little bit, because I feel these weird feelings. And they might not be weird to you, but to me, it feels weird that, like, I would feel embarrassed that I would give to a boyfriend and they wouldn't. It embarrasses me. I feel this sense of embarrassment, you know? Like, what am I not good enough that, you know, I don't get back what I give? Like, I look at myself and I think, you know, like, I would like to be in a relationship with me. Like, I like myself. I don't have a lot of like deep insecurities when it comes to like myself, you know, physically, or emotionally, really. I'm pretty open. You know, we all have issues, and it's not a big deal. We're not perfect, but I don't understand other people. I think I just have a disconnect with humans. Like I don't feel connected to a lot of people. And that's why I have a very close-knit group of like friends that I, you know, have had for a long, long time. And I have issues with relationships, like relationships, romantic relationships. But I don't always get that connection. It's rare. I just don't understand people. I don't understand them, and they make me feel bad. You know, I'm always getting my feelings hurt. And that could be me, actually, you know, being looking at things differently, because I just don't think I was raised in a house that we could express ourselves emotionally. And so there are times where I can not be stunted emotionally. In fact, the opposite, be overly emotional, because I just have all of these emotions I need to just, you know, get let out. Because I've been holding them in for so, so, so long.
So the challenge for you will be to say, hey, I'm on a quest to find the people that are right for me. If I'm giving to this guy and I'm not getting back what, you know, it's not mutual. Let me look at that. Is it because I'm overgiving and have too much expectation? Is it because I'm giving appropriately and that person is just into taking? Which is it? What's going on? Oh, this friend, like individuals, look at it as on an individual basis rather than say, oh, this is about me. I, you know, like blanket statement, I give too much. people disappoint me. Some people do, for sure, but that reflects them, not you. Your job is to find the individuals, whether as friends or as boyfriend, whatever, who are the right fit for you. And it is hard. It is hard to find the right people for you.
Yeah. And now I feel like I felt like this for a long time, especially the last 4 years, the election and looking at how many people voted for this man that just is like the epitome of all the things that I fear in not just men, but in humans, like makes me again feel this disconnect from humanity, you know? And it brings up a lot of issues I have with relationships with men, you know, that these triggers I have.
Okay. So the filter, look at the filter. Now I'm with you. I'm also just horrified and aghast and dumbfounded. And I could use a lot more words at how many people support Trump given what I consider his utter, he's utterly incapable and understatement of the century, incapable and not up for the job, and he's a disaster. I am also with you. It's stunning to me how many people have decided, racism, misogyny, fomenting violence, being okay with, this or that, not having a response to the pandemic, saying it is what it is when people die. Like how many people were okay with that is stunning to me. But there are also a lot of people who voted against him or for Biden. So want to look at the filter, because you can look at, wow, look at all the people who voted for him. That is horrifying. You can also say, and look at all the people who voted for change. Look at all the people who did. It's not the numbers that we want or you would want or that you would maybe feel safe with or that you would think would be more consistent with American values. Look at all the people who voted against him. Both exist. So with your life, you want to be able to look at like what are you focusing on, which is not to dismiss it. I'm in no way saying, never mind all the people who are nasty and rude and entitled and selfish in your life. Just look at the good people in your life, Jenny. No, I'm saying, yeah, those entitled, selfish, self-absorbed people in your life are there, no doubt about it. And I'm guessing there are also some other people, or the possibility of other people, for sure other people. You said you've had some friends for years, that there are also, unless they're also the selfish people, but you want to look at, and who else is in your life who is different? Both. Look at both.
Yeah. I know. I just don't want both. I just want the one good side.
I know. I'm with you.
There's where I'm being selfish.
Not selfish. Who wouldn't want a world full of mutuality and consideration and kindness and supporting each other and, even agreeing to disagree, but being kind, being moral, having good values. Who wouldn't want that? Of course you do. Unfortunately, we do not live in that world, but want to look for the people that are your people. They're there. Instead of being afraid of the bad people, the people who are bad for you, and feeling really stuck. And then it's vodka and Halloween candy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not feeling very well this morning after vodka and Halloween candy, so it's probably a bad idea. Well, in hindsight, probably a bad idea, physically and emotionally.
Well, what is a good idea is to practice being to yourself the way that you would like others to be to you, to be nurturing to yourself, to be kind to yourself, not accuse yourself of being too much or be fearful, but to say, yeah, I feel this, I want this, I need this. This is what I'm, what's going on with me. How can I cope other than vodka and Halloween candy? Let me be good to myself. That's what you need. And when you are doing that for yourself, it is a lot easier for you to imagine that someone else is going to come along and be there for you. Mm-hmm. Practice makes progress.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Dr. Nina. It was nice to like get it off my chest. So I really appreciate you, you know, listening and all the listeners for listening.
Well, that's what it's about, right? When you get it off your chest, you don't have to stuff it down or drink it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel less burdened.
Well, I am glad that you feel safe to unburden yourself, and I welcome that. Anytime you want to call, I am here.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jenny. Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I am here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Podcasts are anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Just search for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to join my Food for Thought community, just head over to Facebook and do a search for Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community and join us there. Take good care of yourself. You deserve it. And I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.